So another transportation story. We learned yesterday that for the sixth time this year, an air traffic controller fell asleep while on the job. It occurred yesterday morning at Reno Tahoe International Airport in Nevada as a medical flight carrying an ill passenger was trying to land. In response, the FAA announced yesterday it will now post an extra staffer on overnight shifts in 27 control towers across the country. Well, how reassuring is that? We wanted to get Barbara Peterson, senior aviation correspondent for Condé Nast Traveler, on the line. She's written about these very issues, working conditions for air traffic controllers. Barbara, good morning.
Oh, hello.
So when this story emerged earlier last month, when that air traffic controller fell asleep at Reagan National Airport in Washington, we got this on our transportationnation.org website. Matt says he's an air traffic controller, and he said, "It is not surprising that one of my fellow controllers succumbed to the issues at hand. Most facilities across the nation can barely staff the day shift, much less the overnight shift. I've been working six-day weeks just to fill our staffing levels. While six-day weeks might not sound bad, it has a devastating effect mentally on controllers." Can you relate to what he's talking about there?
Oh, sure. I definitely. We looked into this a couple of years ago at our magazine. And, you know, the problem of understaffed and overworked controllers is really been simmering for quite a while. And what happened was basically they started losing air traffic controllers, mainly to retirement, about, say, 4 or 5 years ago. That could have been foreseen decades ago, in fact. In fact, you can trace it back to a single day, really, which was August 4th, 1981. And of that, if you recall, was when the air traffic controllers walked off the job.
The PATCO strike, yes. It was Ronald Reagan's big confrontation with union labor.
Exactly. 12,000 controllers walked off the job. And of course, they replaced them, and they replaced them rapidly enough that that created a demographic bubble that really has just been felt fairly recently. That's because controllers mostly have to retire by the age of 56. They're giving exceptions, I think, now because they really need, you know, to have a fully staffed air traffic control system. But the reason for that early retirement is also a telling detail because it is a really stressful burnout job.
Well, let's talk about that for a moment, because on one hand, there, you know, intuitively, if you thought you were going to fall asleep, if you thought planes would crash if you close your eyes and fall asleep, you would think that would keep you awake. But if you get beyond simply the rational zone and get into a place where you're experiencing medical fatigue, you don't have control anymore about whether you close your eyes or not, right?
Right. And this has been a problem in other transportation jobs, too. Pilot fatigue as well because of the unusual shifts. It really is a shift work kind of issue. And I think what is happening here is these towers where there's only one controller. Now, they're not that many, as you can see. They're not the busiest airports, typically, though, of course, Reagan National, you could make a case for that's a pretty busy airport. But in the middle of the night, frequently, there are really no flights at some of these airports. So you get into that question as to how do you stay awake if there's no action going on? Now, a lot of people think of air traffic control as being the airport towers. That's the one that you visualize when you think of it.
Right.
But frankly, most of the heavy lifting is not at those towers. It's at the area towers, the centers, that's what they're called. And they're the ones that handle, you know, planes, say, after a few thousand feet up to about 17,000 feet.
Headsets, windowless rooms, looking at screens for hours and hours at a time.
Yes, but that is a much more intense job. What we've seen in these incidents is while they sound scary, most pilots know that they can probably land safely by themselves. Now, they do need to have contact with someone, but as we've seen in most of these cases, what they did was then contact the other nearby facility. So,
well, let's talk, because I think the worst case scenario in people's minds when they hear a story like this is that somebody falls asleep and there's a gridlock of, you know, 100 planes in some holding pattern, and if somebody doesn't wake up, there's going to be a collision. What we're talking about here are actually situations where the pilot is well able to take matters into his or her own hand. What's the sort of worst case scenario in a more crowded air traffic control setting?
Yeah, well, That, again, is coming out in things like, you know, these, what they call near misses. I don't know why they call them near misses. They call them near crashes. But anyway, there are cases where planes come too close together. And, you know, again, we've been hearing reports of these. When I looked into this a couple of years ago for my magazine, there was a rash of these incidents. And as a result, you know, it got the attention of the people in government who make these decisions. They did work on that. They did increase staffing. And one really unusual case where there was a near miss at Los Angeles, where the two planes missed each other by 37 feet, the city council actually took a very unusual step of passing a resolution saying, hey, FAA, add more controllers in the tower.
Does automation help here at all?
Oh, yes. I think automation is definitely the wave of the future. Unfortunately, it seems like the FAA has been sort of frozen in the last century in terms of upgrading the air traffic control system. And that's the other problem here. There is a new system. It's called NextGen. It's a satellite-based navigation system that's going to replace the antiquated radar-based system that basically we've had since, you know, World War II.
Wow. So when two planes are in the air and they can see each other, if they actually were to be on a collision course, how many seconds do they have?
Well, I don't want to scare your listeners. So,
come on, quickly.
It is usually, unfortunately, if they're going 500 miles an hour. Yeah, it is seconds. But
seconds.
Fortunately, as we've seen in all these cases, it has been diverted.
Barbara Peterson, senior aviation correspondent for Condé Nast Traveler, speaking about the air traffic controller that fell asleep in Reno and caused the FAA to post an extra staffer on overnight shifts in 27 control towers.